Well, hello there and welcome. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio, except you get to sit this one out as far as phone calls go, but you don't want to sit this one out as far as listening and taking in everything that we are going to be talking about, because this is an amazingly important topic today. We have a special guest who's going to join us, and we're going to be talking about purgatory. Often, sometimes it's referred to as the forgotten church, the hidden church, if you will. But we have a special guest who's really going to help us develop our understanding and appreciation of one of the areas of the church. We have the church triumphant in heaven, the church militant here on earth, and then the church suffering, the holy souls in purgatory.
How to explain purgatory to children. We've got a book that we're going to be talking about that is extraordinary, and our guest is spending the entire hour with us and the Take Two family. So sit back and learn. You're going to want to get many of these books, give them out as gifts. I can promise you, I am addicted to this book. I can say that with a clear conscience here. I'm addicted to it because I'm holding it right now. It's incredible. But Jerry, I'll let you do the honors and introduce our wonderful guest who's going to be with us the entire hour, the author of New Friends, Now and Forever, A Story About the Holy Souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Susan Tassoni is with us. She has long been a passionate champion for the holy souls in purgatory. She's recognized around the world as leading a worldwide purgatory movement. And she's an award-winning author of 13 bestsellers, including Jesus Speaks to Faustina and You, Day by Day with St. Faustina. Many other books. I don't want to mention them all now because there's just so much that she has written, but we want to get right to Susan here in a moment. Just before we do that, in 2013, she was featured in the groundbreaking documentary Purgatory, the Forgotten Church, and she was on the cover of Catholic Digest magazine in 2017. Susan holds a master's degree in religious education from Loyola University in Chicago and had the honor and privilege of being granted two private audiences with Pope St. John Paul II, who bestowed a special blessing on her and her ministry for the Holy Soul. Susan, thanks so much for making time to be with us today.
Debbie and God, I just hit my head here. This is supposed to be a powerful show.
Careful,
show.
Yeah.
Good grief. Yes, this is Purgatory Headquarters. Debbie and Jerry, thank you for having me. I've never been on your show, so it's a great honor, and it's just perfect timing to you know, continue to roll out the one and only first ever children's book on purgatory that has never been done.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have so much to ask you about this book. Like I said, as we were doing the introductions here, Susan, thank you for being with us for this entire pre-recorded broadcast for our Take Two family. We're not nosy. We're very curious, so we want all the details. But
dirt.
Yeah, yes. Like I said, I'm addicted in a good way. I know addictions sometimes are not in a good way. I'm addicted to this book in a good way, because for you to be able to explain this in such a colorful production of this book, New Friends, Now and Forever, A Story About the Holy Souls. Wow, it is incredible. I'm holding this hardbound, gorgeous, and I mean absolutely gorgeous book for children and adults. This is amazing.
And adults, exactly.
Right.
You picked up on that, Debbie.
Yes, yes. But Susan, first question, real quickly. We've got so many questions. Why did you write this book on purgatory?
It's something, Debbie, I've done, like, this is like book number 15. And it's something that I wanted to do for years. And since we have an hour, I can slow down and take my time. But the publishers were not into children's books at that time. But then again, if you're praying and you're, as like Mother Angelica before the Blessed Sacrament, God has his timing. So you have to kind of just sit tight, just, you know, go with the flow. And it took, 12 years later. So I've written, like, as I said, this is the 15th, and we have 9 of them on purgatory. As you mentioned, there's a great movie called Purgatory, the Forgotten Church that I was involved in. And actually, you can see that movie online. I didn't realize that. You know, you could buy the film, but it's one of the best works on purgatory that's been done, and for us and for the next generation. So we have that. We have there's a great novel out there called A Tortured Soul by Teresa Linden. She writes for young adults. I just loved it. It's a fiction romantic love story, but the souls are involved. And it's fantastic. So we've got that. okay? But there was no book on purgatory for children, and it had to be done. We didn't reach the children, and we needed to reach the children. All the purgatory saints, as you know, there's not one saint that doesn't have a devotion to the souls. I mean, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and there's every great saint, including Mother Angelica, Mother Teresa, Padre Pio, you name it, all of them had a devotion to the souls in purgatory. Mother Cabrini had a great devotion, and they confirmed with their own revelations and the souls appearing to them that there were souls that were in urgent need of our prayers, Papchinsky, the Marian helpers, across the board. So we needed to bring the church's teaching about souls to the children. And we needed to do it, Debbie and Jerry, in a very faithful, creative way, a way that we can inspire the children and actually kind of point out God's love for us, not his punishment or his chastisement or his, you know, I don't know what else to say, but so we wanted to point out that it's his love. That's why we have purgatory, because of his love. And we were able to do it. We were able to do it. It took 3 years and a lot of other stuff around it, but that's why I did it. It just needed to be done. There was nothing else out there, and we had to reach the children. That's the next generation, the ranks that are coming up behind us.
Beautiful. Susan Tassoni is our guest here. It is a pre-recorded broadcast of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie today on EWTN Radio. A blessed Memorial Day to all of you. We are not here to take your live calls today, but I can assure you, if you have just tuned in, you are in for a very special treat. Susan is the author of a wonderful new book called New Friends, Now and Forever, A Story About the Holy Souls, a book for children on purgatory. So much more that we're going to get to here in just a moment. We're getting set for just a short break here, Susan, so stay with us there. And as we get ready to come back, we're going to be talking with Susan about so many different things about, for example, you know, how does she communicate the concept of purgatory, say, to children in this book? You know, isn't it kind of maybe a scary concept for children? We're going to be getting into so much more. How praying for the holy souls can help kids grow in virtue. This is an amazing conversation that is just starting to unfold right now. So please stay with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. It is great to have you with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hope that you are enjoying a blessed Memorial Day with loved ones, family, friends, wherever you happen to be. Our special guest is we like to bring you new content on original programs that have not aired before on holy days and holidays when we are not live. And we have Susan Tassoni with us talking about her new book on purgatory for children. And we'll get to that conversation with Susan again. We'll resume that in just a moment. Just wanted to mention first, though, news from EWTN's Vatican Bureau allows you to watch all of the important events from Rome, even if you don't have TV access. Using the latest technology, we've made it possible to watch the latest news from the Holy See, all delivered directly to your home via live streams. You can watch live on EWTN YouTube and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Mm-hmm.
So, Susan, I have so many questions to ask you about the book. I was in religious education for over 25 years, and you nailed it. The way you did it through this book, it is spot on. It covers the concept so well and in such a beautiful way. Each page, the illustrations, oh my goodness, are amazing. The images just jump off the page, almost like it feels like a 3D type feeling. It is incredible. But Susan, Jerry mentioned it. Isn't purgatory a scary concept for children? How did you come about how to position it so that it was accepted in a beautiful spiritual way the way you did it in this book?
Yes, you get me so excited because the book came out in September and it's still like fresh, like it just came out, because anyone that sees it the vendors, bookstores, they scream. I have to hold the phone while they go crazy over the illustrations that I have to give credit to Yoris Handoko. Father Wade is, we all know Father Wade Menezes. He worked very closely with me on it and said that this artist was chosen by God. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely true. He is from Indonesia. He comes from a Catholic family. He learned about purgatory probably more than he wanted to. He said it was one of the most difficult but most rewarding things he's ever done. But yeah, isn't purgatory scary? It is. You know, it's scary for us, you know, as adults and for children. So as you know, my objective was, how do you develop this understanding of you know, why the holy souls suffer, and how can we develop a friendship with them? So I had to make sure that the book was, and you picked up on it, it was warm, it had a gentle tone suited for children, and so we introduced the holy souls in a very welcoming way through friendship, because they're our friends, they're our families, they're our relatives, they're our aunts, our uncles, our grandfathers. And so we develop it through friendship with an elderly couple at a parish. And it's the name of Ray and Gloria. So I put it in a sense that I described purgatory in ways that I wanted to put a smile on children's faces, not a fear. I wanted to put a smile on parents' faces rather than frightening them. And, you know, children love chivalry and they love heroes. And who are we? We're the church militant. And we show them how they can play a role, how the children can play a role in rescuing the souls from purgatory by becoming prayer pals. So we also point out how children's prayers are very powerful and how they can help the souls reach heaven. And, you know, with the church's teaching on purgatory, we help the children discover that they are really part of something much bigger than they could ever imagine. It's the church militant. It's part of the mystical body, and that their impact, it impacts the world. I like what Pope Benedict said in his one of his encyclicals. In fact, I took this encyclical and made a novena out of it because he talked about purgatory. It's Spes Salve, and it's number 48, and he said this: no man is an island entire of itself. Our lives are involved with one another. They're linked together. No one lives alone. No one sins alone. No one is saved alone. So devotion to the souls comes from this recognition of our connectedness with Christ beyond death. That bond is never broken. So that was my goal, was to put it, you know, in a warm, gentle, you know, not frightening way that talked about God's love.
Well, Susan, I think one of the best proofs that you succeeded in doing what you attempted to do is I'm aware of the fact that the Archdiocese of Detroit, His Excellency Archbishop Alan Vigneron, once he caught wind of the book and heard about it, he wanted a priest there to talk with the superintendent of schools and the director of evangelization about disseminating this out throughout the archdiocese. I mean, to me, that had to just really kind of confirm for you that you were on point and on the mark with this book.
Jerry, do you know that I was invited to speak at the seminary, Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit? Now, they had no idea. In fact, nobody knew that there was a children's book coming. They just wanted the purgatory lady to come and speak on purgatory. And Archbishop Vigneron has a great devotion to the souls in purgatory. I didn't even know that. So I was there rolling out the book. His chief of staff, Father Day, was in the audience. And that was the first time I saw the book, literally. I had to drive 5 hours to Detroit to actually see my book and then roll it out to these people. Well, Father Day was so stunned, he brought it to Archbishop Vigneron, and they had the same reaction you did. They were stunned by the beauty, the simple concept, the way we approached purgatory, and he ordered 3,000 books for every single school in the parish, and then he ordered books for every parish, and then he ordered books for every person in the pastoral center. And so that was my you know, welcome, you know, and it just gave me such a, what's the word? It just encouraged me. It confirmed it. And after all of these years working at it, out of the first thing that happened was the book went and, you know, went to this incredible archdiocese. And then my own archdiocese in Chicago, they saw it and got wind of it, and they sent it out to all the parishes and schools to let them know it was available. So I'm just trying to get it into all the schools. But yeah, that was the first response I got, and that just totally encouraged me to keep going. That we really hit it on the head.
Yeah, absolutely, no question. It's a, well, go ahead, Deb.
Susan, I have so many questions, and we're just not going to have enough time for this particular broadcast, but I hope it gets our listeners going and researching and getting the book and learning more about purgatory. But what about for adults? Because, you know, and in religious education, we present the information to children, but adults are learning along with the children, and that's what I love about this book.
Right. You know, Debbie, it's funny. I have all my talking points about, you know, how to promote the book and what's available. I didn't even have to use them because they were coming back to me. Stores, vendors, teachers, and at conferences, they said, this book is great for parents. And they were right, because the parents, we were not catechized. You know, after Vatican II, purgatory went out the window with a lot of other things. And so, and then what happened too is it wasn't taught in the seminaries, in some seminaries. So what happens when it's not taught in the seminaries? Well, it passes down into the parishes, and there's no catechism. There's no teaching on sin, on hell, on heaven, there's teaching on heaven. But when you talk about sin or purgatory or hell or grace, that's just been dropped to the wayside. So it was important for me to address these things in the book. And so what I would write articles for Catechist Magazine, and I wanted to get to the adults at one point. And I wrote this article about how to help adults explain purgatory and teachers. And what I did was I went back to that article, and it had everything I needed to help explain to the parents that are reading the book to the children how to talk about purgatory when questions arise throughout the book. And so we have a letter to the parents that's covered in the book on, you know, what is purgatory, what is it not, how do you help them, what do they suffer, all the things that a child will probably ask while they're reading the book with them together. So we hit it on the nail too, because we had the same reaction. The parents were learning. It didn't matter, you know, what age it was for children. The parents were learning all about purgatory, and I was just thrilled. I was absolutely thrilled. So that's how we're reaching the parents as well, that have to sit down and explain purgatory to kids. It's already explained to them in a letter at the very beginning of the book.
Well, you know, and to that end, Susan, why don't we just pause on that thought for a moment and tell you, you said it's in the book what purgatory is and what it is not. If you could give us, you know, a 3 or 4 minute catechesis on this. I think a lot of our listeners are hearing that word purgatory. They've heard it before. They might have this vague understanding of what it is and what it is not. But I think it's critical for us to have a pinpoint understanding of this, because it's obviously one of those realities, if you will, and teachings of our church that, you know, causes even Catholics, but especially non-Catholics, some problems. Problems with the church. So what is purgatory and what is it not?
Oh, okay. Okay. So we're not going to the break. We're going to cover this now. Okay. So yeah. I cover the truths about purgatory. You know, in fact, I was on the air with another bishop in Iowa, I believe. I forget his name. And that was he said, can you tell me, you know, what would you say purgatory is not? If you had to say something, it's not a punishment. Okay. It's, you know, some of these old books that I was working with, you know, up at the seminary at Mundelein, that's where I had the greatest collection of purgatory books in the country, was at the seminary here. God provided, and the word punishment was coming up, but these were old books. So as I dove into it more, and I read the writings of John Paul and the writings of Benedict, which I have in my other books, it's a purification. it's not a punishment. He's not trying to beat us over the head. He's not trying to say, you failed me completely, I'm done with you. He's trying to help the children, us, his children, to be prepared to meet him. You know, we're not ready. You know, we're like little kids that come into the house that we're playing in the mud, and you know, we're sometimes doing things we shouldn't do. And there's this mess that has to be cleaned up. These attitudes, these bad habits that have to be purified, because God is all holy. He's all majestic. He's all pure, and who can say they can stand before God and say, you know, I'm just as holy and pure. You're not, you know, we don't know, you know, only God knows those that go directly to heaven. From what I've read with the saints, in the Revelations, most people pass through purgatory. So it's a place of purification. It's a place where he prepares the less than ready children to be able to stand before him. And he comes to help us to complete the work we've left undone. So that's what it is. It's a purification, not a punishment. And it exists. Why does it exist? Because of God's love for us. You know, he loves us more than anybody else. He loves us more than anybody can. But we have to be ready to stand before him, because he's all pure love. He's all perfection. He's all holy. And let's say this. Let's say, you did go to heaven. Maybe you went directly to heaven. What happens to the prayers that I get this question all the time? What happens to the prayers that people say for those if they're already in heaven? You hear a common response that, well, God applies them to someone else. Debbie, Jerry, it's bigger than that. And you'll hear me all the time, every show I've done with Father Mitch, I've done at least 50 shows, we always bring this topic up. What happens? It's called accidental glory. It's a term that was coined by Thomas Aquinas, that if a soul is already in heaven and you continue to pray for them, that soul gets two things. It gets an increase in its intimacy with God, and it gets an increase in its intercessory power. So the lesson is you never stop praying for them. And it's in the Catechism, 958, that the more you pray for them, the more powerful their intercession is for you.
Wow. Fantastic. I could listen
Nobody
to you.
Nobody knows that.
Yeah, I could listen to you forever, Susan. This is amazing. But we're going to have to hit the pause button in just a bit for this incredible, brand new content, pre-recorded broadcast just for our Take Two family members. And we absolutely love our guest that is spending the entire hour with us talking about purgatory, Susan Tassone. She's a writer of many books, and we hear her all the time on EWTN radio and television. She's incredible. But the newest book, New Friends Now and Forever, A Story About the Holy Souls. Oh, I'm holding the book right now. I love this book. And it's available at the Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. Please, folks, I'm saying this only because I know that this is the gift I'm giving out this year. Get as many of these books as possible. And when we come back, Jerry, I want to ask Susan the question. I hope we get a really cool answer on this, because this is fascinating, because purgatory is one of those stumbling blocks for our Christian brothers and sisters, and we have a lot of non-Catholics that listen to Take Two for 9 years, and I'm curious as the feedback that Susan has gotten from those that aren't Catholic about this book. Do they think, oh, it's just a nice children's book, or does it kind of, you know, pique their interest, you know, that they do want to do a little bit more understanding and catechesis and research on purgatory? What do you say, Jer?
Well, I echo everything that you said. So, Susan, hang on just for a moment. We will get back to our conversation with Susan Tassone. Her book, again, as Debbie mentioned, is in the EWTN Religious Catalog. You will find that at EWTNRC.com. New Friends, Now and Forever, A Story About the Holy Souls. She mentioned it's got an important message for adults. It's got seek and find activities, special prayers for the holy souls in purgatory. It's a book really for people of all ages, children of all ages, if I can put it that way, because we all can benefit from learning more about this lovely, beautiful teaching of God's love and mercy called purgatory. So stay with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Susan Tassone is with us. She is the author of 14 books, has spent more than 25 years helping millions of Catholics storm heaven with prayers to release the holy souls in purgatory. We are discussing her latest book, New Friends, Now and Forever, a story about the holy souls. Not taking your live calls on this Memorial Day because, well, we're celebrating Memorial Day, which we hope that you are as well. We'll be back with our next live show for you tomorrow here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. But real quickly, Susan, here, Debbie's mentioned so many things we were curious about with this book, but you mentioned, you know, what purgatory is, what it is not, helping us form our understanding of that. How would this be helping our kids grow, like, in virtue and holiness by praying for the holy souls in purgatory?
You know, in the story, if you noticed, that the children begin to pray more. Mm-hmm. They begin doing things for others, if you noticed, when they learned about purgatory from the family, from their parents, and there's a discussion, and then we open up to what purgatory may look like. That was totally inspired by God. That they're prayer pals, and they're praying for us, which they can do, and we're praying for them. And so when they learned that Gloria had died, and she might be in purgatory, they want to help Mr. Ray. So they take more responsibility, and they also learn the power of their prayers and what special prayers that they can say that will help release the souls. And if you noticed, Debbie, this is my first children's book, and there's great children's books where they have some thread that sometimes in books weave throughout the whole book. And I wanted to do that, but I didn't know how. You know, sometimes you would see a little mouse in different books that would, you know, show up on every page. I thought, well, that won't do. It was just more praying before the Blessed Sacrament. What could I weave through the book? Well, I weave through the book the Eternal Rest Prayer, which is the official prayer of the book. Mm-hmm. The official prayer of the church for the dead. And so throughout every page, it goes in and out. When they do things, they end up, you know, saying that prayer. Before and after meals, they say the prayer. At bedtime, they say the prayer. When they're at church, they're on All Souls Day, because we have a mass at the end on All Souls Day, they pray the prayer. So they learn about the power of their prayers. They also learn about the sacrifice and offering things up in a practical way for kids. Much like, if you know, the children of Fatima, they offered their prayers. They gave up their lunch for the poor. They prayed the rosary. So they can do things that, and you know what's interesting? Those Fatima children became saints. Mm-hmm. They are saints. So what does it say? Children, and we can all become saints. They were able to do things that was practical for them at their age, so they took on more responsibility. We included adoration. The twins, Ben and Hope, are the main characters, and so what they're doing is they're practicing the virtues of faith, of hope, of charity, and so that's kind of how we address how they are growing in virtue, just doing those normal kinds of things to help people, and mm-hmm. practicing, you know, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy in a way that is practical for them. And that's how we all become saints. It's yeah. not something that's out of reach. It's, you know, it's dealing with, you know, somebody in your family that is just, you know what I'm saying? There's always things happen at Thanksgiving. Right. You know.
Susan, there's so many things I want to say about this, and you're referring to the prayer that you inserted in the book. It's on page 25, and the image that you use for the Eternal Rest prayer is almost iconic. It's so beautiful. Oh, I could stare at it forever. Yes.
That is from Debbie. That I'm near the actual National Shrine of Mother Cabrini is literally down the road from me, and she had a great devotion for the souls of purgatory. So this is in her chapel. And to me, Debbie, now I've been working with the souls for over 25 years. I've seen probably every image imaginable, and this one did it. This one showed they were not angry. They were not, you know, they were not in despair. They were in prayer. They were all in prayer. And that's how I perceive They are. They're in prayer interceding for us. They're in right. prayer with the guardian angel who does when you're released, escort you to heaven. And it's the guardian angel who's always with you, never leaves your side, except for there's only one time it would leave your side. That time would be if you were going to hell, the angel departs. Mm-hmm. But the angels, you know, are with them. They inspire, they console, they inform the souls. And to me, this is my all-time favorite image of how I perceive them. And from what I've read, they're pensive. They're anxious to get out, but they're praying. They're interceding for us. Yeah, I agree with you.
Absolutely. You did a beautiful job getting all the images in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the tabernacle you put in, the angels. You did all of that. You weaved it in and out of the book. It is extraordinary, Susan. I'm telling you, I said to Jerry, I think this book is anointed.
Yes, I wouldn't say this, but I'm telling you, Debbie, I got hit by a cab back in 1983. That was easier than this book. You know, you got hit, you almost died. This was like, but again, I had Father Wade, I had Father Mitch, I had Ida Chan just supporting me because of the things that were blocking me to get it done. And to see God's hand in this, it is His hand. I don't see it as my book. It was His book. His name is all over it. And I wish, really, if you had to buy any book on purgatory, please get this book, because we need to reach the children. You got to get this to the children. That's one area that we haven't addressed. And the feedback from the children, oh my gosh, you know, I'm getting calls and emails saying that one child, in fact, it was Jeanette's grandchild. Jeanette Bankovitz's grandchild, because I was on her show. They showed, I think his name was Leonidas. He saw the paradise scene, because it ends and what happens? What happens? It's a happy ending, because we all end up back together. And I work with the rector of Borromeo Seminary explaining to me how heaven should look like. And Benedict said, it's a reunion. That's what it is. And so when her little grandson saw it, He just happened to notice his mom was looking at it. And you know what he said to his mom? He said, if that's heaven, I want to go there. And that's what I was trying to capture for the kids, that they would be there. And I had the rector tell me what needed to be done. And they needed to be in regular clothes. Yeah. They needed to have, kids playing. They needed to have, there's even a show on that we did with the rector. Wow. He was a professor of eschatology, mm-hmm. And he guided the paradise scene, which was the most critical, I think, of the whole book. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you wanted kids to say, "I want to be there."
Right, right. Well, that was Johnette Williams's grandson.
Her grandson. Her
Beautiful.
Grandson. One child said, "Can you go swimming in purgatory?"
Aww.
I mean, not in purgatory, in heaven. There's a beautiful waterfall scene. One child wanted to know, is there bubblegum in purgatory? In heaven. And then another child, this is on Amazon, that he was so moved by the story that she said she gives them treats, him and his sister. Mm-hmm. He gave it back to her and said, no, I'm going to offer this up for the souls in purgatory. A 6-year-old.
Yeah. Well, that's another area that you nailed completely perfectly about offering it up and having people get outside of themselves, children and adults, and get outside of themselves and enter into the mystical body of Christ and do something productive and effective to build the body of Christ. You absolutely was spot on, Susan.
It was God, Debbie.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done this for 25 years and it took my breath away. I never carry my books with me. This one never leaves my side. It's probably the pinnacle of everything I've ever done. In fact, if you notice the title, Debbie and Jerry, it says New Friends, because they are your friends now and forever. But you don't see the word purgatory. It's a story. And that's how you teach a difficult doctrine like purgatory to children. What did Jesus do? He taught in parables. He told stories. So this book is a story. story of twins named Ben and Hope who become prayer pals with Mr. Ray, an elderly friend from the parish, and they agree to pray for each other and to help him to pray for his departed wife, Gloria. And then along the way, Ben and Hope learn that purgatory is real. It's nothing to be afraid of because it's a special way of God showing his love for us. It's not a punishment. And so so they learn that the power of their prayers and sacrifices help the faithful departed and to reach heaven. And these souls, these friends forever, prayer pals, will intercede for them and become their forever friends now and, you know, at the hour of our death.
Right. Well, Susan, I know Jerry has more questions to ask, but before the break, the previous break, I had asked you to think about, you know, what was the response, the feedback from those that aren't Catholic? Did you get any yet?
Yes. You know, it's interesting. The people that I'm, where I live, it's just there's everyone. There's Muslim, there's Jews, and they know me. And I didn't go out of my way to say, you know, hey, I'm doing this book. They always ask, what are you working on now? And there's one friend, he's Jewish, and he's a professor at University of Chicago. But he's a regular guy. He's not heady. And I said, well, Larry, I said, I just finished it. I want to see it. So I showed it to him. It touched him. You know, he said he wanted a copy. He wanted a copy. Now, he never asked any other copies of my other books, but for whatever reasons, he wanted a copy of this book. Something moved him. A Muslim friend of mine, I don't expect him to take the book, and I was working with him on something, and I showed him the cover. He just said, just the cover, I would buy the book. I was just, you know. So it's been very positive. Now, I don't have a lot of exposure, outside of our faith. But those that in my circle that I know personally, I don't force any books on anybody. I just don't. It's just not the way I operate. But their response stunned me. I didn't expect really anything other than, oh, these are really nice pictures. But no, there was something that moved them. There's a bond that's not broken between whatever faith you are, between our loved ones and, you know, our deceased, between us and our deceased. But that was what I've gotten so far.
Our guest on this pre-recorded broadcast of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie is Susan Tassone. She is the author of, it's a must-read book, a must-get book for you, for your family, for your kids. It's called New Friends Now and Forever, a story about the holy souls, and really helping to enlighten us on the reality of purgatory, which, it's a good book for, like we've said during this broadcast, people of any age group, because purgatory is not a guarantee. We can avoid that by becoming completely holy in this life, but it's a likelihood for many of us, and what is certain for all of us, Susan, is that we are going to leave this world and we're going to die. And you kind of treat this concept of death in the book through the passing of one of the central characters. How does your book help children understand and deal with things like death and grief and sad feelings and so forth?
We've got that in the book, but it doesn't come across. I was worried about that. And how do you know if it impacts the children? Is there feedback? Mm-hmm. And there was nothing, because Mr. Ray does die. You know, they go to church one day and they find out Mr. Ray's gone. However, they just kicked in with, we got to help Mr. Ray if he's in purgatory. And they start doing things to help Mr. Ray get to heaven. Of course, there's the happy ending of everybody reunites in paradise. But it's important to shape the message to the level of understanding of the child. So if they're younger, and you're trying to, help them understand or deal with death or sad feelings or grief, it's best to say the truth that, Mr. Ray died, and that he loved you very much, and he and you need to pray for them, and that way ask Jesus to comfort them and you. As you know, it's sad to lose someone you love, but people feel many things when somebody dies. You can ask the child what they feel. You can ask them to imagine the person is here. What would they like to say? No matter what the child says, you don't correct what they feel. but acknowledge their pain. So it gives the child things, well, you also can give the child things that can help them. They could light candles, they can say, read this book, because the prayers are in there. And these are practices that are included in the book. So that's what I would do. You have to be honest, but at their level.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Sure. Fabulous.
This input, just so you know, is not off the top of my head. I never do things alone. I consult with psychologists, with theologians, with apologists. I never just say, well, this information that I gave you, I explored it with the child psychologist. So,
Susan, you do your research. We know that. You are amazing, and you're so thorough in it, and you're highly respected. And so this book is it's a winner. It's an absolute winner in so many ways.
I would recommend people to go to EWTN-RC, and the reason is it's a special edition. They have a special edition. So and of course, what are you doing? You're supporting EWTN. You're evangelizing. So when you get the book, I would definitely get it through them because of some special things that I put in there for them.
Nice. Well, before we get back to our conversation with you, Susan, let me just share with our Take Two family, Jerry, another great podcast on EWTN's Podcast Central is A Reason for Hope. It explores the Catholic faith and the teachings of John Paul II in a way that is fun, relevant, and engaging. You can hear A Reason for Hope and other faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world, all in one place, all free at EWTN. Podcast Central. All you have to do is visit EWTN.com/radio and click on Podcast Central today. Jerry?
Yeah. Well, Susan Tassone is with us here. We're kind of in the home stretch of our conversation talking about her. This is more than a book. I mean, Susan, you've been called, what, the Purgatory Lady, I guess?
Yeah. You know, people thought I came up with that, Jerry. I was in the corporate world. I was a high school teacher. I taught theology. That's the last thing I would call myself. It was, I have to blame. And he is in the book. He's lucky he wasn't inside purgatory, but it was, Father Anthony Mary at EWTN, one of the Franciscan missionary priests at EWTN. I was on the campus and he was like up the hill and he started to shout, Purgatory Lady. And I turned around, thought, who is he talking to? And that's where it came from. And then that was it. It was all over. I'm going to have to wear a name tag. God knows who I am. So that's where I got that title, if you will.
Well, and on that point, you know, a lot of people, as we've discussed during this conversation, don't have a proper conception of purgatory or what it is, have a devotion to the holy souls. Others, like yourself, Susan, really are led by, I presume, you know, the grace of God and really the prompting of God in your life to have such a wonderful devotion to the holy souls. Can you give us just a brief kind of, throughout your life, how did you get to this point?
I didn't sign up for this. No. I was minding my own business. I was a high school teacher. I taught theology. I left because the nuns were putting stuff in my mailbox, and I just thought I wouldn't look good without red lipstick. So I went into the corporate world, did a little stint in advertising, not knowing everything was a stepping stone to something else. And I ended up working for a nonprofit agency that funded 350 agencies in Chicago, and I loved it. What happened was I got hit by a cab, literally, in the Loop in Chicago. That story is in Praying with the Saints. If you want to know the details of how I got involved, Praying with the Saints for the Holy Souls tells the story. I ended up, with a permanent leg damage, but at least I could walk, okay? And so there was an apparition site, that's partially approved. And I just went because of Our Lady, the devotion to Our Lady. My mother planted seeds in our young hearts to have a devotion to Our Lady. So it's been there since I was a child. And so I've been to Lourdes, I've been to Fatima, and I went to visit this site. I came back, and the permanent damage that was visible for 12 years was gone. And I was stunned, and the people here at the hospital, they waited 3 years before they confirmed that there was a healing. And it was literally right after that, somebody handed me the book on purgatory, a little teeny little tiny booklet talking about the souls in purgatory. And I was so moved by that they were desperate, their desperation, they were helpless, they were desperate, that they needed our prayers, they needed our masses. And it had to be God, Jerry. I just decided to take up a collection for mass stipends. And then I had this money, and I didn't know where to go, and the parish priest, well, the reason is the parish priest couldn't fulfill, as you know, the mass booklet was full, and there's only one priest. So he sent me to the missions office. Every diocese has a missions office. We have Catholic missionaries that we support with our mass stipends. And I got a quick study on that. So I went over to the missions office and I said, here's the money. I need to give this to you because I don't know what to do with it. And she was stunned because Cardinal George was our bishop. And he just told her at a board meeting, you need to find a way to get more mass stipends to send to our missionary priests all over the world. And I walk in, here's the money. And she asked me if I would help out, and I'm like, uh-oh. And so I said, well, if I could. And so I started to talk about that little booklet about purgatory and how they need our mass stipends, and the best way to support, you know, our missionary priests is through the missions, through our, you know, our missions office. And so I ended up working for Cardinal George for 6 years, and he did the forwards to all my books all the way up until his deathbed. And then I got to meet the bishops, because when you're working for the missions, the bishops from all over the world come in asking for mass stipends because they're so poor. They mm-hmm. don't have money to buy bread and wine for the Eucharist for their priests. They don't have money to buy books for seminarians, and this is what this mass stipend does. Wow. And so I just started to write about it online and in letters, and it just exploded. Mm-hmm. And Cardinal George was a very happy bishop because Amazing. He was a missionary himself,
yeah,
actually.
Too. Yeah, because he understood it. But Susan, we're getting ready to close this broadcast. We definitely need you to visit us again on Take Two. I know that after our Take Two family hears this incredible episode about purgatory, they're going to be saying, you need to have Susan on again. So Susan, please, we need you on again, and keep writing and speaking about all the things of religious education, because you do such a fine job communicating it in this real quickly, because I know Jerry wants to give the information on how folks can get the book right away. What can we do today, Susan? What can we do today that we can just start participating and understanding the communion of saints better? What can we do right now after this broadcast?
On my heart is, please teach the children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews. We have to form merciful hearts in our children, and we have to plant the seed for prayer in their young hearts and teach them to reverence the deceased. If we don't, they will become godless.
Wow. And I can just, you know, the benefits to this are amazing, because like you said, the holy souls in purgatory are really desperate for prayers and masses to be said. And I think, Susan, the benefits to us too. I mean, if God wills, you know, if we need to go through the purgatory process ourselves, we are going to be in that position at
yes.
some point ourselves. So
exactly.
I think getting the practice of doing that right now, I think will serve us well when that
well, you
comes.
Have friends in heaven forever. They are. And I, you know, I'm black and white. I'm not like, you know, visionary type. I scare easily. I told the sisters, don't come visit me. I don't need to see you. You know, just help me through every day. They are extremely powerful. Their intercessory prayers shield you from dangers. They protect you from evils. They're like your second guardian angel. They lessen your purgatory. In fact, your prayers, their gratitude, let's put it this way, their gratitude is in relation to their joy of being released out of purgatory, which is infinite because you're giving them paradise. And I can attest to that. They are near me. They are around. They intercede. And that's what you want. You want intercessors looking after you and looking after your family. And they never stop praying for you. The guardian angel in in purgatory tells them who are praying for them, and they never stop praying while they're in purgatory. That's the one thing they can do, is intercede for you while they're in purgatory. And then when they're released, the first thing they do is they pray before the throne of God unceasingly for you all the days of your life until you're safely home in heaven. They become your dearest, your sincerest, your nearest friends forever. That's why I call it friends forever. And these are the people you want in your circle.
Yeah. Susan DeSoni, this hour passed way too fast. Can we put you on the spot here and ask you to come back maybe on a live show and answer a listener?
I would love to. The best time is, is that time of year, October, November, when mm-hmm. everybody's paying attention to the souls. The summer, people are vacationing, even though I did write an article about, not to forget them because they suffer 24 hours a day. So please remember them in the summertime. Visit the cemeteries, sprinkle holy water, bring the children out there, have masses offered, attend mass if you can. The rosary, the chaplet, the stations all help the souls. Why are they the most powerful means? Is because of the indulgences that are attached to them. So the mass is the highest form of worship, the highest act of prayer. Offer your mass, have a mass offered for them, and then alongside the mass, the rosary, because of the indulgences, and then alongside the rosary Amen. Is the Stations of the Cross, and we have books on all of them. They've sold over 2 million in sales. What does it point to? I look at it as more souls out of purgatory, but again, it's the same thing. OSC did a Pew study. What did people of the faith want to know more about than anything else in the whole Catholic faith? Purgatory.
Amen. Susan, thanks for being with us. God bless you.